All right, thank you. Hi, everybody. My name is Alexis Lance, and I am with the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health. And I'm going to share with you some lessons learned from our bicycle and pedestrian count loaner program that we're running in Los Angeles. So no relationships to disclose, so we'll dive in to talking about bike and ped counts. So over the next 20 minutes, I'm going to hopefully cover some of the technologies used for bicycle and pedestrian counts, share some of the pros and cons of our bicycle and pedestrian count loaner program, and hopefully if you don't already have a program, you'll walk away with some thoughts on how to create your own evaluation program. And if you do have a program, I would love to talk to you afterwards. And then we'll have time at the end for maybe one or two questions, but definitely at the end of the session. So, first, just a little bit about where I work. I work within the PLACE program, which stands for Policies for Livable, Active Communities and Environments. We are embedded within the LA County Department of Public Health Chronic Disease and Injury Prevention Division. And we focus in, the PLACE program is dedicated to fostering policy change that supports the development of healthy, safe and active environments for all Los Angeles County residents. So we have several programs that focus in on assisting jurisdictions with built environment planning and policy, specifically around active transportation. We provide direct funding when possible. We provide technical assistance. We engage in working collaboratively with our county partners and local jurisdictions. I don't think I need to touch on why we're focusing on active transportation and built environment planning and policy. I think that was sort of already covered, and hopefully that's why you're all in this room. Since we started our program in around 2006, we have worked with around 24 of our jurisdictions on various forms of active transportation plans and policies. And just to put that into perspective, we have 89 jurisdictions, 88 independent cities in Los Angeles County, representing around 10 million people. So we've worked with 24 of our 88 cities, and we're actually starting on a pedestrian planning project for four of our unincorporated communities that are historically under-resourced. Many of the cities that we are working with are minority communities and are often under-resourced and short-staffed. We've had the instance where the assistant planner goes from being the assistant planner to the head of planning and the city manager all within a couple of months. and sometimes the chief of police is also the head of the Department of Public Works. So just to give you an idea, some of the cities are very short-staffed. So we've prioritized counts as an evaluation measure to track our planning investments. And also we are investing in this to really assist where our transportation agencies are sort of letting us down, if you will. So our regional transportation planners, our partners, are not collecting local data on walking and bicycling beyond the census or the National Household Travel Surveys. The state of California does pay for a little additional resources, but it doesn't get to the granular level that we need, and our local jurisdictions haven't had the capacity to do the type of granular data collection that's needed to support increased investments in biking and walking. Furthermore, a number of our state and regional grant programs now require jurisdictions to do bicycle and pedestrian counts in order to actually secure funding to implement improvements. So now our local jurisdictions actually have a mandate or a need to start collecting this data. So we're really helping to establish the baseline data with the jurisdictions that we're working with so that they're better positioned to be able to apply for active transportation grants. We launched our program in 2013. So right now it's just been baseline data, and we're still waiting. A lot of our jurisdictions actually have been awarded funding through our state and regional grant programs, but it does take like 3 to 5 years to still get those projects implemented. So hopefully in the next couple of years, we'll be back to talk about the after. So I'm gonna briefly cover the various types of counts. How many people here have done a manual count or are familiar with automated count technologies? All right, a couple, okay. So I'll just do a little bit of bringing everybody up to speed here. So we typically, with the PLACE program, have conducted screen line counts when we do manual counts. And a screen line, for those of you that aren't familiar, is literally just an invisible line. and you're counting people as they cross the invisible line in the middle of the street. And this is very similar to how much of the automated technology works as well. It's just kind of capturing the volumes as people cross the invisible line, or in the case of the technologies, the radar tubes. So this is an example of a count form that we use when we're doing manual counts. It's kind of small, but as you can see here, there's information. I'm going to use the arrow. We can collect information in addition to just the direction people are going and how many people are out on the street. We can collect information on how many of the cyclists are female, which can be a proxy for how safe the streets are considered. Sidewalk riding, wrong way riding. You can add in other attributes you may want to find, like if you would like to know about helmet use. And then in terms of pedestrian issues, we're looking for how many folks are in a wheelchair or may have special mobility assistant tools, and then, you know, skateboards, scooters, things like that. You can also look at how many children are walking if you're doing a count around a Safe Routes to School project. So with the manual count forms, we're able to collect a lot of additional information, but manual counts can be rather labor intensive. And so automated count technologies have several advantages. They can provide ongoing and consistent data collection for less cost and time than manual counts. You can do longer duration counts, which helps identify usage for larger sample sizes, which is crucial with people walking and biking because their volumes are generally smaller and more variable. So you may see spikes at different times of the day beyond just a normal commute pattern time. And the longer duration of counts also provides more accuracy for extrapolation purposes, so you can estimate annual average daily travel. And then the minimal hours needed to be able to install the equipment means that hopefully you can do more counts throughout the year. And hopefully jurisdictions, we're really pushing them to consider installing permanent counters once they start to implement their improvements, so that they can collect 24/7 year-round data and really understand the annual trends, which in California, we don't really have seasons in SoCal, but I know in Arlington, Virginia, the permanent counters have been a huge benefit because they actually really saw an increase in cycling when they just plowed their routes and people were still commuting year-round. So if you're in a place where you actually have seasons, that year-round data can be really helpful. So automatic count technologies does have some drawbacks. You miss out on all that behavioral or demographic attributes. Some of the technology can't tell the difference yet between a person walking or biking, and the accuracy of the count technology can vary. In the case of groups of pedestrians or cyclists, you may get an undercount because they don't always do a good job if people are right next to each other, or you may get overcounting due to sensitivity issues, you know, falling leaves or dogs walking by. So I'm going to kind of quickly go over a couple of the variety of automated count technologies. I'm just going to really hone in on the ones that we are actually using with our program, just to touch on those, and then the ones that I think are sort of most useful from my experience. So with our program, we have the pneumatic tube bicycle counters, which are, I think, one of the more portable and inexpensive automated count technologies. The other benefit to them is they're very similar to the type of counters that many jurisdictions use to do vehicle traffic counts, so they're familiar to Department of Public Works and transportation staff. Inductive loops are also very familiar to Department of Public Works and transportation staff, and these are typically permanent installations that you would do along a bike path or a bike lane. Actually, the San Diego Health and Human Services Agency worked with their regional transportation planning agency to install, I think, between 30 to 50 of these counters along their regional bikeway network. So, and many jurisdictions are installing these. So the error rate on both the tubes and the loop counters is around 4% or less, especially if they're installed permanently. I think that error rate can go down, but it can be high with the shorter ones, and we've definitely experienced some issues with that. So the other one I want to touch on is the passive infrared, which is down at the bottom. We've been using passive infrared counters to count pedestrians. It's another counter that can be used temporarily. And while they don't differentiate between people walking and bicycling, when you're installing them in a permanent situation, or even with a temporary, although we haven't done it this way, you can install the infrared counters with the tube counters or the passive loop and factor out the people bicycling from the people walking, so you can start to understand your rates of people walking and biking along a path. As you can see, there's a lot of different types of technologies. I think it's just really important to identify, if you're developing your program, what's right for where you're going to be counting. Are you going to be counting on unpaved trails and urban situations? Do you want to be installing permanent counters with a partner, or do you want to have a program that enables you to count as needed? Video counters are one that I think I would recommend people take a look at if they're considering a program. They do have temporary video technology that can be installed as needed, and there are various formats for that. They also can be installed permanently, and some jurisdictions already have permanent video counters. They're just only counting cars. So you may just need to work with them to update software to create software so that it's identifying people walking and bicycling. And the nice thing about video counters, especially if they're automated, is that you get that data, but you can also go back with a human being and review the data to understand some of the behavioral attributes or how people are moving through through an intersection, or if you're if there's spikes or something unexplainable in the data, you can actually go back and look at it to be like, oh, there's a marathon that day, there's a huge group taco ride or something. So. And there's a number of other technologies that are coming online that can help with origin and destination, understanding route choice, a lot of different tools out there. This is just sort of a little overview. So, as I mentioned, we saw the need to track our investment, and we purchased 12 automated bicycle and 12 automated pedestrian counters. We spent about $170,000 on our program, which includes the counters themselves, a data plan for each counter for about 4 years, and then all the tubes and attachment parts and things like that to last us around 5 or 6 years of doing counts. We utilized community transformation grant funding to establish this evaluation program because we were investing, using our CTG funds to invest in to active living built environment initiatives. So this was part of helping to track that. So in addition to the technology I mentioned, the equipment provider, which was EcoCounter, also has an online data portal that where the data from the counters is actually automatically transmitted every day. That data portal is available 24/7 and for as long as the company is around and at no additional cost. And basically, that was a big selling point for us because we were going to be starting a lending program of wanting to be able to have our jurisdictional partners be able to access the data easily as well as ourselves. So we and our partners are able to see the count data, the counters upload the data usually around 3 or 4 in the morning each day. So it's not real time, but we at least have some ability to track it without having to go out into the field. And this allows us to better respond if it seems like there's issues. Sometimes the counters don't always send the data up into the database, and that may be because something's come unattached, and so hopefully the staff can go out and just double check and make sure the counter is still there. So this is just sort of to show you an overview. Our regional MPO and our county transportation planning agency created a regional bicycle data clearinghouse, and they also created a guide to conducting bicycle and pedestrian counts for our region so that there could start to be some uniformity in terms of how active transportation data is collected. A lot of jurisdictions, when it was collected, it was often by a contractor and it wasn't consistent with how they were counting. So since the fall, we've worked with seven jurisdictions since the fall of 2013, we've worked with seven jurisdictions to conduct counts at 45 locations, and we upload it into this regional database, so it's available to anybody in our region and beyond to access the data. So just to go over our methodology here, we encourage our grantees and partners to count, to do automated counts, and we're lending them the counters. Typically, they get the counters for 2 weeks or a month, depending on how many locations they want to count at. The literature recommends one count location for 15,000 residents. However, many of the jurisdictions we work with are 15,000 residents, and one location doesn't seem like enough. And so we're typically counting between 4 to 10 locations in each jurisdiction we're working with. We install 2 bike and 2 ped counters at each location. That's one set for each side of the street. And with the manual count, when those are done, Jurisdictions are usually using their own staff or working with a nonprofit partners, and just because you're using volunteers, we're typically only conducting manual counts during one weekday during the morning and afternoon, and on one weekend in the afternoon. And this data is this, their counts are done at the same locations as where the automated counters are installed, so that we can understand information on sidewalk bike riding, helmet use, children walking or riding. When we install the tube counters, they're pointing in, they're going across the travel lanes, and our pedestrian counters are going facing across the sidewalk. So we're not capturing information on sidewalk bike riding with our tube counters, unfortunately. And in our region, we're working with a lot of communities that have no existing bicycle infrastructure, and most people are riding on the sidewalk because they don't feel comfortable on the street. So that those counts are really important. So I'm going to kind of skip ahead here. So since we're running a loaner program, ideally you want to be doing the counts during the school year, because that's when traffic is highest, but we have to fit things in just on the demand of our schedule. So we've developed a process for lending the equipment, and I'm happy to share any of the materials from our program with folks if they're interested in starting their own program. One of the important things we're doing with our loaner program is giving the cities a chance to test this equipment out. So it involves a lot of training to them on how to install and utilize the equipment, and we've developed several videos on how to install the equipment, and then also how to use the online data portal. We've had pros and cons with this as well, just because different staff have different experience with count equipment. And so typically we're going out with our lendees to assist with the installation. I'm not exactly like a pro at installing tube counters, but I have more experience than some of them. And so we meet the staff out in the field and assist them for the first couple hours to get things set up. And I think the big thing, I'm going to touch on some of the lessons learned, is our agencies aren't necessarily, most of them have been grantees, and so they have different levels of interest in doing the counts, because we're sort of forcing them to do it as part of their grant requirements. And so we've had challenges with staff not always doing things consistently. They themselves are inexperienced with count technology, so not all of them have a survey crew that goes out and installs the equipment. And then we've also had issues with the technology itself, where I think one of the biggest things we've experienced is that the data doesn't always automatically transfer into the online system, and that our tube counters, just given the high traffic on a lot of our roadways and the high truck and bus traffic, our tube counters oftentimes are getting ripped up from the street. And this can also happen due to street sweeping as well, so it's important for the staff to be coordinating with whomever is providing their street sweeping services. Let's see, so I think some of the lessons learned, so as I mentioned, we like to do 2-week counts, but we really learned that the data is not reliable on the first and the last day, and our staff, the city jurisdictional staff, isn't always great about marking the exact time that things are installed. So we were kind of counting the 16 days and just chopping off the first and last day and not counting that at all in order to make sure that 2 weeks we're actually really capturing the data. We've learned that we need to take a more proactive role in installing and checking the equipment during the count period. The city staff is not always doing it, and when we see an issue, we have a big county, so it may not always be possible for us to get out to the field, but at least calling the city and seeing if they can go out, because they're not always the ones that are checking the system every day. And we've experienced having to go out and reset the counters, especially the bike counters. We've not really had as many problems with the pedestrian counters, but with the bike counters, we often have to go out into the field or have them reset them. And then, you know, our online regional database is really for manual counts. It hasn't been set up yet for automated count technology, and so we had issues with that, and we worked with UCLA, who created the database to help us streamline some of our forms, to upload the data for us, and work with us to create some reports to share with the cities on the baseline information collected. So just real quick, some of our early information that we've found. I think one of the things was that the counts demonstrated to our cities that there's higher levels of walking and biking than they had originally expected. For example, the city of Cudahy, which is a very small, it's 1 square mile city in southeast LA County. It's a majority Latino community. It's very low income, and there are incredibly high rates of walking, especially to school. And as you can kind of see here, roughly the same, I mean, half the number of people driving are walking to the school or around schools in that community. We also found in several of our cities that even on a street with no bike infrastructure, if that street connected to a regional bike path or if there was bike infrastructure for just part of the street, that cycling was highest on those streets, even when they had no bike lanes or existing bicycle infrastructure. And you can kind of see that on the map on the left-hand side. That's the city of Carson, and where the counts were highest in that city was sort of like where either the bicycle infrastructure just ended or like between two segments of bike infrastructure. So we're hoping as they get funding to implement these improvements, we'll see even greater rates of cycling on these routes. So our data is contributing to our regional data collection efforts and hopefully informing our regional transportation plan. We are seeing a doubling in the amount of funding in the regional transportation plan for active transportation, so from $6 billion to $12 billion, but that's kind of funny money that doesn't exist yet. So there's a lot we still need to do to get it at a local level that we can actually have our jurisdictions use. So if you're considering a loaner program, our one suggestion would be to partner with a regional transportation agency or a state transportation agency to actually help you with running the program. As I mentioned, our jurisdictions have a lot of inexperience, some of them with installing the equipment, and we don't necessarily want to take on the liability of installing the equipment, and some of the cities charge you a permit fee if you're going to shut down a travel lane. So installing the ped counters is no problem. It's the bike counters where we run into issues. So if you have one agency that kind of has maybe a jurisdiction to be able to work on a city's behalf, that would be helpful for installing temporary counters or even permanent counters. And then in terms of the type of equipment, I would really encourage people to look at video technologies. I mean, we've enjoyed the ability to do the automated counts with our pedestrian and bike counters, but I think not being able to understand all the variability and not being able to go back in time and see what's happening on the street, it would be really helpful to have that video to kind of be like, oh, like there was a huge group ride that happened, or that was walked to school there, just to be able to see like why there were certain spikes. And sometimes it's really weird stuff. Like I had a count at between 11 o'clock at night and 1 in the morning where I had spikes of 1,000 pedestrians in a 15-minute interval, which leads me to believe that there must have been like some bird flying back and forth. Like I don't know what happened. But so there's things like that I just don't understand, and so I just have to drop that data from our data set. So video counters may help with understanding some of those issues and decrease some of the issues that we've experienced with our count system. So that's it. Do we have time? Does anyone have any questions? Otherwise, we'll jump into the next presentation. All right. Oh, go ahead.
So how far away are you?
That's a good question. I mean, I think other people at our health department would be better able to do that than myself or in our program. So we haven't really examined that yet. We just don't have the after data yet with our jurisdictions. As I mentioned, it's all baseline data at this point. Locally though, the LA County Bicycle Coalition has been conducting counts with the city of LA. They're manual counts though, and they're conducting them only 2 days out of the whole year. So again, it's hard to extrapolate from that data, but they have been doing it every 2 years, and we've seen huge changes as the city has rolled out new infrastructure. So 100% increases in cycling on roads that now have bike lanes that didn't in 2009. So we are seeing big differences in terms of increases in cycling, but you know, I think there's a lot of factors to look at, like did people come from adjacent streets and move on to that street? You know, there's more to look at, and unfortunately I'm not a data expert, but I know folks like Jennifer Dill and others are probably looking at things like that. Any other questions?